Welcome back to Risky Business. The boys are back after a one-week hiatus. Michigan's got a bye. We got a bye. This is episode 9.
We've got college football week 8 cruising right along in the season. NFL week 7. Full slate of games for you this week. More heavy on the college side than the pro side. So definitely listen in. We are recording this on October 16th, 2024, and please remember to always gamble responsibly. Let's jump into the records from not last week, but 2 weeks ago. We figured if Michigan can take a bye, we can take a bye as well.
Yeah. I don't know. We won't call it a halfway point. Obviously, it's still early, but we are both sitting at a 53% win percentage. I went 4-5. No thanks to the Tigres. I apologize for betting on the Gritty Tigs. I feel like I partially let us down.
Yeah, that was a sad one to lose, man. Game 5. They should have beat him in Game 4.
Game 4, do we blame Hurricane at all?
Yeah, he is a curse. He's definitely a curse. He needs to be banned from all Detroit sporting events.
He can go to Pistons games for all I care.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
But yeah, I'm 21-19. You're 18-16. Is there any games you really want to go over from 2 weeks ago? It's kind of
not really. Lost. Just since it's been.
I will point
except
out to
Army.
Yeah, Army's a wagon, and I will point out to the viewer. I tried to warn Craig away from the Bears. So
don't remind me about the Bears. We're done with the Bears.
Oh man, the Bears are 4-2.
Yeah, they haven't beat anybody, but it's still
hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have been like a 3-3, 2-4.
This is, you know how the Colts always beat a Super Bowl team? Colts did beat the Bears.
Stop. The NFC North, though, is crazy.
Yeah, Vikings, Lions, I never would have thought the Lions would be dogs like at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they're one and a half point underdogs at the Vikings. And
that's dropped. On 97.1, it was like 2.5 earlier today. So wow.
I checked just before, now it was 1.5.
Okay.
I mean, you get the Hutch injury, which obviously hurts, but like you said, if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year, I would have said,
no way.
Huh?
Yeah, but let's hop into this week, the college slate. What is this, week 8?
Yes. You lead us off with your Friday play.
Yeah, so nothing Thursday. I don't even know what Thursday game. But yeah, Friday I got 2 plays, actually.
Oh boy, what's your other one?
Oh, you moved it. That's all right. I'll hit you with both of them real quick. Oregon at Purdue. This is a short week. Oregon's coming off an emotional win. Dan Lanning's lying to the media saying he had that 12-man planned. I call the biggest bullarchy on that thing. There's no way he's that. I have watched him bottle game after game against Washington, the game of his life last year. There's no way he thought of that.
Yeah, Dan Lanning's a good coach. Would love to have him, obviously, as my coach. But he does not handle end-of-game scenario well. There's no way he was that big brain to send that dude out there. The 12th man.
No, now his media or his agents or whoever is probably telling him, like his PR guy, go ahead and say that you planned that.
Can we appreciate Ohio State fans, though, going full Karen mode and getting the rule changed literally within 48 hours of that game going final?
Well, don't you know every time they lose, it's not their fault, even though Ryan Day's 0-5 against the top 5 or 10 in those last 5 matchups?
Exactly. It's full Karen mode. It's contact the NCAA for help.
First year against Michigan, the flu game for CJ. Second year,
A couple big plays.
That was it. They actually outhit us probably. Third year against Michigan, let's just blame Kyle McCord. And then, The other game that they lost was Georgia in the second year. That was because Marvin got hurt.
Oh, right.
Marvin got hurt, and then let's just make McCord, you know, whatever.
The scapegoat.
And then this year is the refs. So, yeah, there's always a good excuse for the Buckeyes. Anyway, all that to say this. Oregon's coming off a huge emotional win. They half-stormed the field, beating Ohio State. What Oregon doesn't know about the Big Ten is Purdue's been doing this to teams for years. Just this lowly Purdue, nobody cares, West Lafayette, sleepy, Friday night game, short week for Oregon. Yet Purdue upsets teams. Now, I'm not saying they're going to upset Oregon, but 27.5 is just too much for me. I got to take the spoiler makers to make it interesting because Oregon ain't going to take them seriously.
They're going to do this one for Tyler Trent.
Yes.
I'll never forget that night, though, when they beat Ohio State.
That was wild.
I think they were probably 20-point underdogs, something like that. And Tyler Trent was there, and they did it for him. So I initially looked at this game and stayed away from it because I thought it was a Saturday night game. But now seeing that it's a Friday night game, I like the play here because short emotional win for Oregon, short week, long travel across the country, into something that they don't really know what they're getting themselves.
And they don't care. They're just like, oh, we're Oregon. Yeah. We beat the Big Bad team. Because they were talking trash all off season about they're going to own the Big Ten.
And Purdue actually showed a pulse for the first time this year.
At Illinois.
Taking Illinois to overtime. Yeah. So
that's my first Friday. And then at 10:15, so straight off the first dub, we went to 10:15, OK State, Oklahoma State at BYU. BYU is favored by 9.5. Oklahoma State's not good. I'm just over this Mike Gundy stuff. Oklahoma State's a bad football team. They're 3-3. BYU's undefeated. And BYU is like our Indiana or our Army. They are laying teams out. And they are just owning them. And did you watch game day last week?
A bit.
Did you see the thing on their quarterback?
I did not.
They had a whole segment, like a Tom Rinaldi thing, on their quarterback who's half Jewish and does the BYU thing, and he's coming out as Jewish, and he knows people are going to make fun of him.
He's coming out as Jewish?
Yeah. Openly Jewish athlete. He's got, like, a star necklace he wears, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Retzloff is his name. And, yes, at the hunting cabin, for some reason, we watched this segment of game day.
So Tom Rinaldi convinced you. He had you crying and getting emotional.
Yeah,
on your couch.
I was sad. But BYU doesn't run the ball. Guess who their leading rusher is?
Their quarterback.
Guess how many yards he has.
Their Jewish quarterback.
Yes, their Jewish quarterback. Guess how many yards he has.
We're talking Ashton Gentry yards.
Their leading rusher has 184 yards.
That's great.
But he has passed for I wrote 1,500 yards, but it's like 1,460. He's passed for...
Yeah.
They just pass the ball around. They got two wide receivers. They're both over 300 yards and receiving already.
So I'll tell you this. I did do a little bit of research last week before we decided not to do a pod.
Yeah.
And one of my plays for last week was BYU to cover against Arizona. And BYU ended up beating them. They covered. I don't know how much it was, but like you said, they're a unit. They're a good team. And Oklahoma State was a favorite in the Big 12 coming into the year. One of the teams predicted to win it, and they've been terrible. So, and also super at BYU.
They beat Arizona 41-19.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing that score. And I was like, well, dang, I would have been right there. But at BYU is a weird place to play.
Yeah, so at home or on the road, they barely beat Baylor. Okay. SMU, they barely beat on the road. Wyoming, they beat by 20. At home, Kansas State, 38-9. At home against Arizona, 41-19.
Yeah.
So at home, it is a big plus.
The home field is a cheat code.
And Oklahoma State, they're coming off a loss to West Virginia. And I understand that was 2 weeks ago, but West Virginia walked into their house and beat them 38-14.
That was in Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah, Oklahoma State might be cooked.
So BYU needs to win by at least 10 points. I got them at 9.5 minus 112. All right. No more Friday games.
Let's roll into the noon slate on Saturday. A lot of noon games for you. So, batting leadoff, Miami at Louisville. Miami's favored by 5 here. My play on this one is Louisville to cover. Louisville's coming off a road win against Virginia. Didn't look great. It was closer than it should have been. Louisville's played Notre Dame and SMU, both tough this year, both ranked teams. Pretty good teams, and that Louisville's played them tough but hasn't been able to break through. I think this is the week they get that breakthrough to either lose really close or maybe even win. The coach for Louisville, Jeff Brohm, we know him. He used to be at Purdue. He was always good at beating the ranked teams, pulling off that upset. I like this spot for Louisville, and Miami has been playing with fire the last couple weeks against Virginia Tech, I think it was the Hail Mary Virginia Tech,
mm-hmm.
and then at Cal, that was an insane game. So I think Miami's due for a loss here, but you're going to give me 5 points with a pretty decent Louisville team at home. I'm taking that.
Yeah, it just feels like Miami's like this year because their conference is awful, right? It feels like they're almost Notre Dame this year, where they just sleepwalking through the competition. Not really, like, caring who they play, barely winning. And then at the end of the year, they got, like, a 11-1, 12-0 record like the old Notre Dame used to. And then when they get in a real game and they actually have to play, they haven't played any legit football all year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The way this backfires on me is Miami, obviously, led by Cam Ward, prolific passing offense there. And Louisville's like 70th in the country in pass defense. They don't protect the pass very well. So there's the bad matchup. But I love the coaching advantage. I'll take Jeff Brohm to coach circles around Meathead Mario Cristobal any day of the week.
It's a good call. Honestly, what I hate for you is it's in Louisville. If it was in Miami, they wouldn't blink twice about Louisville because they have to go to Louisville. And it is only Louisville at noon. That helps. Louisville at night is kind of intimidating, the all blacks and everything. But I could totally see Louisville definitely at least losing by just a field goal, maybe at the end.
Yep, that's the hope. So, all right, we'll jump to the Big Ten here: Nebraska at Indiana. This is actually a really, really interesting game, and I'm super excited to watch this one. It's Indiana favored by 6.5 right now. I'm gonna move this, so I'm gonna play this as an alt line. To 7, I'm going to take Nebraska to cover by 7 just to give myself a little breathing room. It moves from minus 112 to minus 125. So to me, those 13 points in odds are worth it to get me to that nice number of 7. My cap on this one is we've been high on Indiana this whole pod, especially you. You've taken Indiana almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they are 6-0 against the spread. They've covered every single week. They haven't lost to
them. Did they cover against Nebraska?
They played.
Or Northwestern?
Yes, they did.
Oh.
They're 6-0 against the spread. First time being 6-0 since, like, World War II, I'm pretty sure, at Indiana. Like, literally. And I just, they've been a great story so far. But you look back at the teams they beat, and their schedule is pretty light. So I'm thinking the book is overvaluing Indiana a little bit here. Nebraska is the more physical team. And I think Nebraska is going to have an advantage on both lines of scrimmage. And that is going to play a huge factor into this game. Both teams are coming off a bye. So they're both rested and been preparing for this game. I give the slight coaching edge to Indiana with Cignetti. I like Matt Rhule as a coach too, but Cignetti seems to be pretty big brain, so that's not great, but I just don't see 7 points of difference between these two teams. Like, on paper, I don't think these teams are 7 point difference.
That's a good call. Definitely don't take Nebraska money line because they don't beat ranked teams.
Yeah, and Nebraska loves to lose close games.
So they're going to be close. Ryola's going to do his stupid Patrick Mahomes, and I hate that. I despise Nebraska. I almost want to take Indiana by 14. Oh, that kid. If you think it's cool, please text us and tell us why, because I think it's the dumbest thing ever.
It's gotten to the point where it's pretty dang weird.
You just see it on social media and you feel like you're awesome. It's like, no, dude. Just do your own thing. Be your own guy. But yeah, it's in Indiana. Sadly, it's a noon game because this game would be dope at night instead of, you know, MSU for the 18th night game in a row.
Yeah. I think Nebraska keeps it close. If they can somehow slow down Curtis Rourke and that passing offense, they'll be in business. Indiana defense isn't great. We've watched a lot of Indiana. And the other team does put up points on them. I think Nebraska's going to be able to move the ball. It's just, can Nebraska get a couple stops, create a few turnovers?
Nebraska, they last played Rutgers, right?
Yes, and it was a super windy game, and it ended like 14-7. It was bad weather, weird game.
Bro, Rutgers, like the last couple weeks, has done nothing on offense.
Yeah, they're in a slump, to say the least.
Anyway, we got a couple more noon games. Let's do East Carolina and Army. I just feel super disrespected if I'm the Black Knights. Why is it only 15.5? Charlotte beat East Carolina 2 weeks ago, 55-24. Army, did they already play Charlotte? I can't remember. I don't think they did, but give me Army by a billion. They're a wagon. It's disrespectful that East Carolina even stands a chance. I think they're 3-3. Army is 6-0. Yeah, they are.
Army is, I think Army is 6-0 against the spread, too. I think they've covered every. Oh, along with Indiana, yeah. They're perfect against
the spread. Last four of their five games, four of their six games this year, they've put up over 40 points. The highest points they've allowed this year, guess how much?
14.
Twice.
Okay, well, the ultimate heat check was last week. We both took Army at -27 against UAB. We took a service academy at minus.
We didn't bet it last week. We took them at Tulsa.
Was that the last one we did?
Yeah, last week was UAB. Yeah, at Tulsa, okay, anyway, we did. Yeah.
If we would have had a pod last week, we would have taken Army because it's mandatory. And they blew out UAB by like 35, 40, something crazy.
34 points?
Yeah. So
East Carolina's 3-3. Their losses include Charlotte, like I said, where they got their doors blown off. They lost to Liberty by 11, and they lost to App State by 2. Their only wins, though, Norfolk State, Old Dominion, UTSA.
Yeah. There's not much more to say about Army these days. It's just, all we can say is just bet them.
How I just don't understand. 15.5 points? They can throw the forward pass. I'm telling you, they're going to win by... They're going to put up 40 again, and they're going to give up 14.
Yeah. I mean, they throw the forward pass better than Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how we're ranked higher than them. Oh, no. They're ranked higher. Michigan's in between the two service academies, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Michigan would lose by a lot to Army.
Well, we'll see. Jack Tuttle. Oh, it's by the way. I don't even think you have it on your play sheet. Do you have Michigan? Oh,
Michigan is on my play sheet. Don't you worry. We'll get to Mr. Tuttle. No, you don't.
Okay. Why is Michigan favored by 3.5 on the road?
Do you want to just jump to that game?
Yeah. And then we'll go back to Auburn. no, let's do Auburn real quick. Because Michigan's not at
3:30. Yeah, Michigan's not at 3:30. All right, Auburn. So I'm taking Nebraska +7. We're both taking Army -15.5. The last noon game on this play sheet is Auburn at Missouri. We got a little SEC action for you. Missouri favored by 4.5 here at home. I know D is going to hate this play because Missouri hurt him 2 weeks ago badly hurt him.
They didn't show up to A&M.
That was insane. So I'm taking Missouri. I like this spot here where everyone has written them off and kind of just forgotten about them because they haven't looked good this year and they got dumpstered at A&M in front of everyone. I think this is a big bounce back spot for them. They just beat UMass last week, so they got right last week. And this is their week to kind of announce to the country that we're not dead yet. And Auburn is not a good team. I feel like this line, if you would have told me this was the line at the Auburn-Missouri game at the beginning of the year, I would have said, easy money Missouri. At the beginning of the year, it was probably closer to minus 10 because everyone thought Mizzou was going to be a great team. I think 4.5 is disrespectful here. I think Missouri can beat them by double digits. Auburn just can't score. They can't move the ball. They're brutal to watch. And Luther Burden, Missouri's best receiver, NFL guy, is back this week, so he's healthy. I just don't think Auburn's any good. And at Missouri's a pretty good home field advantage, so.
Yeah, I strictly have to stay away just because they hurt me, but both those teams are disgusting to me.
Yeah. Missouri's been mad underwhelming, but.
The block M kills me, too. Go away. Go away.
I think they wake up this week, so.
I don't hate it. It's only 4.5 at home against a terrible team. What's Missouri ranked, by the way?
I think they're in the 20s, maybe like 21 or something.
As they should drop. All right, 3:30. Let's talk about Michigan. 3.5 is wild to me. I have no clue what to think about that. People think Michigan will win by a field goal.
Yeah, so Michigan, this line opened at Michigan favored by 1. And that was on Sunday, I saw that. And now it's grown to Michigan by 3.5. Like you said, I don't understand what people are seeing in Michigan.
I like it.
Yeah. Especially after our last meeting. If you remember the last meeting, Michigan-Illinois, it was in the big house when Michigan... It was in 2022. It was the Blake Corum got...
That was the last game I was at.
Yeah, Blake Corum tore up his knee in that game, and Michigan had to convert a 4th-and-2.
Yeah, it was like a pass out away to the running back.
To like a fourth string running back.
Rush or something. What was his name?
I can't remember his name, but yeah, it was not a big name player.
It was the Jake Moody game.
Yes.
He had a ton of field goals.
Yeah, the point in the matter is they almost beat Isaiah Gash.
Yeah.
They almost beat a really good Michigan team at the big house just a couple years ago.
Yep.
I have a hard time believing the way Michigan's looked this year that we cover a 3.5-point spread. I'm not touching a side in this one, but I am going to nibble on the total. The total is set at 43.5. I'm taking the over. Jack Tuttle, with the quarterback change there, he provided a spark at Washington. If he doesn't come into that game and play, Michigan loses by 20-plus. Alex Orji, Davis Warren are not the answers. Jack Tuttle... I know he had a couple turnovers at the end of that Washington game, but like I said, if he wouldn't have come in at all, it would have been a major blowout. So he at least made it close. I think if you give him 2 weeks to prepare with the bye week and the coaching staff forming the offense around him, I feel like the offense is going to look competent against Illinois. Also, did you notice in that Washington game, the run game looked better when Tuttle came in? Because the Washington coach at halftime acknowledged, yeah, we're going to have to actually play real defense and account for the pass.
Yeah. Tuttle, definitely Michigan's best quarterback. That doesn't mean he's good.
No.
But to your point, he makes people at least have to put their two deep safeties actually deep. One thing that pisses me off, and I know this is super petty, Sherrone Moore goes on the radio every week, 97.1. And I've listened to most of his interviews, if not all of them, this year. And every week, one, he's acting like he's been there before in a way that's kind of like, no, you've actually not earned your stripes to just be casual about how you're coaching. Like, for example, beginning of the year, talked about how Davis Warren's ready. He's a guy. He can throw, yada, yada. Then Orji replaced him. Oh, we trust Orji with his arm talent. He's going to throw the ball. This week, guess what the interview was about? Fully trusting Jack Tuttle and his throw. And I understand as a coach, you have to back up your guys in public. I understand that. But he said the same message for all three quarterbacks. It's like, grow a spine, dude.
Three strikes and you're out.
Admit you made a mistake. Why can't we just be like, he was injured. Glad we finally got him. He's probably been our best quarterback. I totally should have put him in at the beginning of the game last week, but wanted to give Orji one more. Like, none of that. Just, we fully believe in Jack Tuttle, and he's going to lead the team. It's like, dude.
I mean.
Why don't we take responsibility? Do we talk about the defense? Do we talk about Hill? Do we talk about Perry, who literally couldn't cover me and you, we would look like Edelman and Amendola in their prime against them.
Yeah, the secondary's off. That's also part of my cap for the over here. But yeah, I fully believe Michigan beats Washington if the coaching staff starts the best quarterback on the roster from kickoff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you spotted Jack Tuttle, a 14-point deficit. What do you expect?
And he got back, and I think we even took the lead.
Yeah, we went up 17-14, then he had his couple turnovers, and we lost. But
the throw wasn't bad. The throw I don't hate. It was a little behind.
The fumble.
Day one.
You got to secure the ball. And like I said, 2 weeks to prepare, 2 weeks of knowing you're the guy, get mentally right, and go up and actually go up and down the field and put some points on the board. On the flip side, on the Illinois side, Luke Altmyer, he's been in college for a couple of years, really has struggled mightily in his couple of years, but this year he has figured it out. I don't know if the light bulb went off or what happened, but he's a different player. And Illinois has been pretty good at slinging it around the yard. And back to that Washington game, Jair Hill is a burnt piece of toast. He fell on the ground like five different times in that Washington game, just slipping all over the place. Never in the right position, never making a play, just easy pickings for the other quarterback. I think Luke Altmyer can – I mean, Will Johnson will cover half the field, but you still have the whole other half exposed, and I think Luke Altmyer will be able to throw for some yards and put up some points. Because Wink Martindale, my goodness, I have no faith in him.
I'd rather have Jim Knowles.
Yeah. Talk about the Spider-Man meme. Two guys pointing at each other, the exact same thing. Jim Knowles and Wink Martindale. I mean, what a downgrade. That's got to be the biggest downgrade in coaching from last year to
Mike
this year,
McDonald,
right?
The Jesse Minter, to Wink Martindale.
Yeah, I mean, just the pedigree is just insane. But, yeah, so I think both teams are going to be able to put up enough points to meet this lowish total of 43.
I'm with you, because if Michigan's favored by 3.5 and it's moved from 1 to 3, that means there's going to be a lot of points because our defense can't stop anybody. I mean, we made Will Rogers, or is that his name? Will Rogers?
Yep.
We made him look like Stetson Bennett against us 2-3 years ago. Just couldn't miss a pass, dropping nine. I mean, the coverage, I never played football. You know, full stop. Neither did Jared. But, dude, I know that you're not supposed to just give 10 yards of space every single play. Let them catch it after three and then miss your tackle. That can't be right, right?
Well, there's multiple. Even that, there's multiple. Back to the DC. Multiple times where Michigan guys, two Michigan guys are next to each other, awkwardly out of position, and a wide receiver's open 5 yards to the left. Just like the scheme. The execution, everything is just horrendous. For the level of talent that is on that defense, they are severely underperforming, and I think it's the DC. But, alas.
Good.
Let's take Michigan over. I think...
I'm not doing it, but you can.
I think there'll be a decent amount of points there.
Is that it for college football?
No. Biggest game of the week.
We are... Well, okay, so... I don't know about you, but... I don't know anything about Alabama, and I don't know anything about Tennessee. I have no idea what to expect. No. It's in Neyland. It's going to be hopping. Both teams, don't trust them whatsoever. I don't understand what's happened to either of them this year. Alabama's coaches seem to not have the room anymore. And Tennessee, how are you losing to Arkansas?
Well, it's a must-win for both teams. They both already have one loss. And I think the line's perfect. Alabama by 3. Tennessee's at home.
But do you think Alabama's 3 points better? Like, you just...
I think the line's perfect. I don't have a side in that game. I can't predict. I think Alabama wins.
I just want to watch it as a fan because I know it's going to just be wild. It's always a wild game, so...
Yeah, and before that year where Tennessee took down the goalposts and threw them into the river, I think Alabama had won the previous, like, 8, 9, 10 or... You know, like, Alabama owns Tennessee... historically, so if Fun I was fact. Gonna play, it would be Alabama, but gosh, they've looked rough the last couple weeks.
Fun fact, before we went to Chicago, we were considering going to this game.
I forgot about that. That would have been wild.
All right, let's hop to the real game though. Georgia at Texas. I kind of view this, and it seems in your bet you do as well, I kind of view this as the changing of the guard right now. Texas is a wagon. They're going to have Arch Manning next year, too. They look hungry. They look like the hungriest team out there. If you ask me today, and you've kind of been on this train all year, so I'm surprised you're not taking them to cover. But if you ask me today who's going to win the national championship, I'd say Texas. Nobody in the Big Ten looks fit. They look like the best team in the SEC. The Big 12 is a joke. Shout out Utah. ACC and the ACC is a joke. So, Texas, they got a lot to prove. Their biggest hype game coming in, super emotional. You got to go play the national champions week two. What do? Completely dumpster them. Now, I understand Michigan's no good. But still, to go into the Big House, do what they did, handle business. They've handled Quinn Ewers' injury perfectly. They come back. Georgia's looked bad the last couple weeks. Georgia defense, who looked great against Clemson. That doesn't make sense because Clemson's offense is actually coming around. Georgia's defense can't stop a soul.
Yeah.
What they let Alabama and Mississippi State do to them is insane to me.
It's just not, it's weird seeing it. You're not used to seeing it after these last couple years of just pure dominance from them.
And my biggest factor in this game for – okay, so Lions, Texas, -5 at -110. The biggest thing for me is Carson Beck. He's the biggest joke of a quarterback ever. Yeah. I'm not sold.
Tell him about the darkness retreat or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So it was probably another college game day thing. After they lost to Alabama last year in the SEC championship, where they were going for the three-peat and then they couldn't even go, he sat in silence for 3 days. Didn't talk to anybody. Contemplating it. Just super sad, right? Didn't talk to coaches, family, nothing. And he wrote down his goals for next year. And his goals for this year, this current year, was to win the Heisman, go undefeated, win the Natty. Well, he went and laid the biggest turd I've ever seen against Alabama. I don't care that that game got close. Alabama owned him. He threw, what, 3 picks and a fumble? Yeah. He had, like, 3 picks.
Yeah. He's going to be 0 for 3 on all of his goals from the
nowhere near the Heisman Trophy winner or whatever. I don't care that you put up points against Mississippi State. You were at home, right? They're at home, right?
I think so.
Georgia, Kirby Smart, I think, is... Did you see him shove the player, by the way?
Yeah, there's something... I mean, we make jokes about it and laugh about it, about all the DUIs and stuff, dude. But there's something seriously wrong, culture problem wrong at Georgia. Like, with Kirby Smart shoving that quarterback and stuff from the other team.
Which, how does he not get a penalty?
I don't... That's the SEC right there. Just brush it under the rug. Can't have him suspended for the biggest game on the calendar year.
No, that's ridiculous. So, Texas, and it's at home, and it's at night. I think it's a change in the guard. They're more hungry than Georgia, and you can tell.
Yeah, Texas is definitely the better team here. This game, I believe, was Georgia -1 or -2 at the beginning of the year. So, this line has shifted 7 points. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year that the line would be -5 for Texas... I would say, give me Georgia all day. You can have my whole farm.
Yep.
It just shows you how much these two have changed throughout this first 7 weeks of college football. I did predict Texas to be very good, like you said. They were my potential natty pick at the beginning of the year.
His darlings.
Yes, and they have proved to be very good. However, this is not a must-win for Texas. This is a must-win for Georgia. If Georgia loses this game, they're going to be a team that's fighting to get in the playoffs. They're going to be on the road in the first round of the playoffs, which is hilarious to think about. So Georgia is absolutely needs this game and wants to send a statement that they're still Georgia. So you've got that. It's a back-against-the-wall type game for Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your other power stat. Georgia is 50-0 against teams not named Alabama in the last whatever years. 3 years, I think that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Alabama on that other side. They have an Alabama problem, but they are not playing Alabama this Saturday. So there's your – if you want Georgia, I mean, +5 is pretty generous for two teams that on paper are pretty darn even. So if I was going to play it, it would be Georgia to cover, but I'm going to stay away from a side here. Here's your other power stat. Georgia this year has scored 0 first quarter points in all their big games this year. Clemson, Kentucky, and Alabama. 0 points in the first quarter. So I am taking a Georgia under 3.5 points in the first quarter for this game at -125. I think they get off to a slow start. I think the crowd will be into it, cause a false start, drive doesn't get going. Just sluggish to begin. And before you know it, you'll be like watching it and you'll be like, how many times do you watch a game? And you go, dang, man, that first quarter went by fast. I think Texas gets the ball first, goes on a long drive. Georgia sputters out. They punt, and your quarter's just about over already. I'm taking under 3.5. I don't think Georgia comes out and goes down and scores a tut on them. So
if they don't, they're not covering.
I mean, there's that second half, though. They woke up against Bama in the second half.
All I'm saying is they have flirted a long time with losing with teams not named Alabama. Kentucky should have beat them. Mississippi State, I don't think they should have beat them, but you don't put up that many points on Georgia. Unless what we said earlier, there's a culture problem.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Georgia gets off to a slow start, but I honestly do think Georgia covers in this one. But
50-0 is turning to 50-1. Now, will they cover is the question.
Right.
We're on opposite sides. That's all right.
That's going to be an amazing game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing one to watch.
NFL?
Give us the Brits.
Do you have one game?
I have one
game. He said, last couple of weeks, he said, I'm going to keep the people honest with one game. Yeah, take me over to England. Pats are, I guess it says at the Jags. They're in England.
It's the London Jags. I think we should permanently change their... They're not the Jacksonville Jags. Well,
they don't have real fans.
They're the London Jags.
So, London Jags. They just got dumpstered by a rookie in Caleb Williams. I mean, dumpstered. Pats are 5.5-point dogs. The Jags are terrible. Drake May, I understand it was his first game, whatever. He actually looked decent in his start against...
It was a tough first start against the Texans.
Yeah, and he actually looked decent. His defense is what let him down.
Yeah.
The Jags' offense, brutal. The Jags' defense, worse. I mean, they made Caleb Williams look like Mahomes out there against them. I'm taking Pats. 5.5 is a lot in the NFL, as we know. To at least cover. I'm flirting with money line. I'm going to say cover. Because both teams are horrible, but...
Big dogs have been the move in the NFL so far this year.
And I feel like 5.5 is disrespectful. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a rookie. I mean, you might as well consider Trevor a rookie, too. He's horrible.
Yeah. The Jags are playing their second straight game in London this year. They just got done, like you said, getting whooped by the Bears, and now they get to tour around England all week and then welcome in the Pats. So, also, shout out to the NFL for giving England... just about the worst possible matchup you could give, Patriots at Jaguars. I think that's hilarious.
Oh, isn't there a worse one coming up? Isn't there a yeah, the punishment for World War II is Panthers and...
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember who the other team is. Panthers and... Is it Raiders, maybe?
No. I'm going to look it up, but let's keep talking. So yeah, the London games, it's always fun to watch. A little 9:30.
It's nice having football on literally all day. So 1 o'clock on Sunday, everybody in this state knows what's going down. Lions at Vikings. We talked about this already. Vikings actually favored by 1.5. I'm going to take the over in this game at 51. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. These two teams like to score, and I know last year, I think, that second game in Minnesota, there was just yards on yards on yards and points and points and points. And you also got to factor in the loss of Hutch, just an absolutely brutal injury to Aiden Hutchinson, who's everyone's favorite player. Giants at Panthers. Yeah, that is a punishment for World War II. We really just throw our worst teams to Europe and say,
the only thing I could think would be worse is like Jags and Titans or Titans and.
I just love that the whole point of those games is to get European fans to like football and get them into it, and we decide to send the worst possible product over there. That's great.
Back to the Lions.
Yeah, so Hutch, that brutal injury. I don't think that the Vikings O-line hasn't had any injuries all year. They've started the same five every game. They can protect the quarterback and they can run block. They are a good offensive line. And when you take Hutch out, I think Sam Darnold's actually going to have quite a bit of time back in that pocket and be able to dish that ball to his playmakers, which he has a lot of. Justin Jefferson, dog. Jordan Addison, a dog that doesn't get talked about enough. A perfect compliment
because
to him.
He doesn't help himself out because he gets suspended.
Yeah, an idiot, but still a dog on the football field. And then I don't think Hockenson's back, but
isn't he? I heard he's either this week or next.
Yeah. Aaron Jones has been a great addition for them. They're just...
Yeah, speaking of Jones, I'll cut in real quick. That's the key to... If the Vikings, like, actually want to win this game, nobody runs on the Lions. If you can get Jones to 80, 90 yards rushing, just to keep it balanced against that defense and keep that Detroit offense off the field, I think the Vikings got a shot.
Yeah. And we all... enough about the Vikings. We all know the Lions offense is a wagon. They just emptied the tank out in Dallas, just clowned them, turned that into an open practice. But I kind of see a 30-24 type of game. I think they get over that 51-point total. And a super fun matchup is Brian Flores, the DC for the Vikings, against Ben Johnson, the OC for the Lions. Those are two guys on the top of their game right now, and be very interesting to see who wins that battle.
Yeah, I like that play. Watch it be like 14-10.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's root for points in a game like that. We don't have a rooting interest in that game, so it's fun to just root for points.
Points are fun.
Who are you rooting for as a Packers fan?
The Lions.
Just to keep the division close.
The Lions. Yep.
Yeah, I know who your dad would root for. Let's move it. Nothing really else stuck out to us on Sunday. No, the Colts don't stick out to me as 3-point favorites against Miami. We're still going to lose because Anthony Richardson's starting at quarterback. So if you want an easy play, take the Dolphins. Anyway, Ravens at Bucks, Monday Night Football. You want to talk about points. 49.5. They're giving me less points than the Lions-Vikings. You ready for this? Last 3 weeks, combined score. Guess how many they've put up.
Like, what are you talking about?
Each team. So, Bucks and Ravens combined score the last 3 weeks. No, total points.
Probably 70.
Total points combined. Both teams.
Oh, like all 3 weeks combined. So, 210.
They've put up 220 points between the two of them.
I mean, that Saints-Bucks game this last weekend was the craziest game of the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Saints were up 17-0. Or Bucks are up 17-0. They go down 24-17, come back and win like 50-37. It was insane.
And the previous week, Baker balled out. They lost to the Falcons on Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
Like, they're putting up points. After that Denver stinker, where I think their coach just got outcoached by Sean Payton, I think that Bucks offense is rolling again. The Ravens... Nobody can stop the Ravens' offense right now. The only thing that stops Lamar is he has that mental headspace he can't pass to beat Patrick Mahomes. Like, he can't win a big game against Mahomes when he needs to. But everybody else, he makes everybody else look silly. The Bengals couldn't stop him, and the Bengals were in a must-win in the jungle. They could not stop Lamar Jackson. All he had to do was get one stop late in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens would have shut down.
Yep.
They were down by like 10 points multiple times. Like, it looked like the Bengals threw out the knockout blow 8 different times that game, and the Ravens just kept scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, it's honestly wild that this total is not in the 50s. To get this at 49.5 is, I like that number.
So the only thing that scares me in this is obviously the Ravens defense against the Bucs, but I just feel good because it's in Tampa Bay. Monday night's always disgusting though, so watch it be, like I said, 14-3 Ravens win or something stupid. Because they did lay a pretty bad turd against the Broncos. Baker threw like two picks. And...
Yeah. That Bucs defense though is not good.
No.
They should be good, but they're not good.
So just root for points. We got a lot of games we're rooting for points. Let's do a little review. I got two Friday games, Oregon-Purdue, Oklahoma State-BYU, taking both home teams to cover. Saturday, Army, of course, our darlings. And then I got Texas to cover. I'm telling you, changing of the guard, Texas is going to embarrass Georgia. And then Pats on Sunday, 5.5 is too big. And Bucs-Ravens over.
I've got Louisville to cover against Miami. Nebraska to cover at an alt line of 7 against Indiana. I've got Mizzou to cover against Auburn. Like you said, Army to cover, because why not? Michigan over. Georgia under 3.5 first quarter points. And Lions-Vikings over 51.
Rip Hutch.
Rip Hutch for sure.
That's going to do it this week. We're going to be back to a weekly basis. Just pick and play what you want to do. Like we said, we're both at a, what, a, we're over 50% on our games.
We're at 53%.
So, we are winning. Back to the winning ways, and yeah, we will catch you next week.